Shadowcast, Flash episode number 3. In this episode, we have two stories for you. A Higher Calling by Kathy Highcove, and We Are Free, a Love Story by Evan Melke. Kathy Highcove has been published in various Los Angeles publications, several e-zines, and has written restaurant reviews for Valley Scene magazine. She's an active member of the Internet Writing Workshop, and has contributed book reviews to the Internet Writers Workshop book blog. Kathy also edits the newsletter of the California Writers Club, In Focus. And now I'm pleased to present A Higher Calling by Kathy Highcove. Big John watched the floodwaters swirl underneath his attic window. Lawn chairs and trash cans bobbed on the current. He stared back down at his BlackBerry. No messages. What the hell happened, he wondered. Where is everybody? I always have messages, or appointments to remember. Good thing this gadget's still under warranty. But I feel like I need to get going somewhere. I figured you'd be sitting up here, Big John, cried a female voice. He whirled around and recognized his tenant, Angelique, an elderly Creole with her wiry gray hair tucked into her red bandana. You startled me, woman. But I'm actually glad to see you. How'd I get up here, Angelique? One moment I'm down there swimming in my business suit, and then I'm suddenly up here looking out this here window. In dry clothes. No messages on my BlackBerry. What happened? Do you know? You be dead, Big John. So was I, Angelique replied with a low chuckle. See your sorry body over there? You had yourself a heart attack and drowned dead. I'm the messenger sent to fetch y'all. What? You're right. I see myself floating face down, hands and legs all splayed out. Like a dead crab, and I'm bloated all out of my clothes. The suit jacket's bobbing up like a gray sail on a kid's raft. I lost my best shoes and silk socks, and my head's jammed into the crotch of the magnolia tree. Oh, there's soggy junk food wrappers stuck all over my face. It's horrible, like a disgusting video on YouTube. You'd think I'd remember taking my last breath. Help me remember, messenger. Remember coming out here this morning to evict your renters? Tried to raise the rents, greedy old polecat. You and me and lots of folks was arguing on this front porch when the levee busted. Then, are you dead too? Asked Big John. I didn't kill you, did I? I think you riled me. Ha! You never touched me. The flood water swept us all off the porch, and I slammed into a lamp post. Drowned dead. What now? The moon is rising, and the town is spooky. I feel like I'm in limbo. Not exactly. You got a new job. Look yonder. There's our crew. The parade's a-forming. Parade? Not time for Mardi Gras yet, Angelique, replied Big John with a smirk. Then he peered closer in the direction where his visitor pointed. Toward the dark horizon, where night's smooth edges met the turgid dark floodwater. Something long writhed and lifted up into the air like a disjointed snake. Big John's eyes widened as he watched the line of specters slowly dance toward him over the dark water. Oh, when the saints go marching in, the tune drifted through the humid night air. What kind of parade is that? Big John asked his companion. I knew some of those folks. There's Papa Rolando. He died last week of pneumonia. And isn't that drummer the guy we used to see in La Vida Loca Club? He was shot by his girlfriend's husband. Our crew is a bunch of ghosts. Come on, Big John. Look who's talking. We got to join him right now, or else we'll all be haints in this old house. Oh, I nearly forgot. I'm supposed to give you this here saxophone. Learn to blow with soul. You got forever to learn how. She guffawed at his baffled expression. Where are we going? Big John asked as the duo wafted through the window. They sailed gracefully over to their crew and settled next to a toddler shaking a tambourine and an old man tooting a bugle. Angelique pulled a kazoo from her skirt pocket. Not sure. Maybe we're going to find a black hole, jump in, spin around with stardust, and maybe we'll all come back to life here, like Mama once told me. The reveler's line rose slowly, writhing across an inky sky. Angelique pointed at Big John. Blow your horn, brother! Let's hear your soul music! Big John blew a low note, then looked down one last time at the flooded house. Okay, Angelique, you win. I'll try to keep up with our crew, but sure wish I could take my BlackBerry with me. Our second story is We Are Free, A Love Story by Evan Melke. Evan has won no awards, published no articles, and has lived a charmed and disillusioned life. Told at a young age that his writing had potential, he harshly scorned the ones who attempted to guide him. Now, at the tender age of 19, amidst the fraternity members, the math majors, and the English professors at Kansas University, stands Evan Melke, attempting to rectify the faults of his past. We Are Free, A Love Story, is a short social commentary on the fragility of the world around us, and the ones that take advantage of our complacency. Besides We Are Free, Evan is working on completing a novel entitled Zoo. A link has been provided on the website, so have a look and see how it's coming along. And now, on with our story. Enjoy. We Are Free, A Love Story by Evan Melke. It all started here, from the ivy-drenched walls of his childhood home to the jagged asphalt of the road that would lead him so far astray. 16 years had led up to his revelation. It had crystallized in his pores, clogging his rationale. As he stepped out into the mid-morning sun, he blinked, coughed, and without so much as a wince, walked onto the shattered concrete. He was barefoot. To wear shoes would have been an abomination, an aberration of the truth. Fucking Nikes, Adidas, Reeboks, another way to be tethered to the ground. To become what he wanted, total detachment was needed. No fucking distractions, and no fucking mistakes. Broken glass crunched softly under his feet. He felt the shards pierce deeply into his fleshy heel. Hot blood splashed to the pavement. He smiled as he walked north into the city. Fragmented words and unapproachable thoughts, patches of withered dreams and illusions hemmed on their clothes, faces stoic like the ancient gods, eyes fixed firmly ahead. Willing the world around them to bear its lush fruit with no exertion, he smirked as he passed them, weaving his way delicately through the amorphous mass, knowing that he, and he alone, had a purpose. These lost souls, these ships with no helmsmen, idly meandering through a frigid and frozen wasteland of the American city, back home to their dogs, their wives, and their fucking 1.5 children, their bodies slowly and inexorably rotting, impregnated with the seeds of false fulfillment. Nobody noticed his souls, raw and ragged from the cruel sidewalk, leaving blotchy spots of blood behind like a morbid Hansel and Gretel. It was just as well. These drones would have caused a stir. A whitewashed world with order and cleanliness is rarely placid when interrupted. This city would crumble effortlessly. The true givers, the tangible revolutionaries of this place, were the ones that removed themselves wholly and utterly from the petty musings that encompassed them. However, when confronted, they would strike, decimating the brittle attempts of resistance. His attainment was inevitable, like Che Guevara, except not a weakling. Slate monuments, testaments to their puny egos, towered above him, reflective wells of light sliding slowly down their steep faces, revealing the transparency of their construction. Steel and glass, flesh and bone, tiny pillars of pathetic human ingenuity. How they stopped. How they marveled at these teetering and swaying nightmares. Like dominoes in a row, ready to tumble, begging gravity to silence their cold metal hearts. He stood at the intersection for quite some time, face to the heavens, arms aloft, palms spread wide, as if channeling some ancient and guiding power. They waddled around him like geese, brushing shoulders, casually rubbing their polluted faces against his. With each contact, he grimaced, the revolting nature of their touch a physical and mental affront. He withstood, a mighty oak defying a storm, roots gripping soil and rock in a pulverizing embrace. He would not be shook. He would not be pushed aside in their sweeping plow. A challenging shout, a shrill and blasting horn blossoming from his lips, parting the smoke and din and fog that gathered above his head. We are free! It rippled outwards, 50 pounds of plastic explosives, lovingly cared for, each crafted from the finest materials. Their detonator, a singular and exquisite work of engineering. It was a thing of beauty, a pinpoint of searing light slowly building into a resounding crescendo. Waves of stone and gravel undulated spasmodically, tossing its riders effortlessly into the sky. disjointed pieces of an unworthy world scattered into the blinding sun. At the epicenter of the blast, a grinning child stood, no older than 5, his belief in a new day as bright as the explosion that encircled him. This episode was produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative License. Our music today was by Christopher Carlson.